This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Good morning, Senator Dean. Dean Smith.
G'day. How are you going? It's
good.
Great to be with you.
It's lovely to have you. It's Mac and Tass here.
Good morning, Dean. It's really good to have you on The Wires.
I think this is the first time I've been on Joy.
It is.
Actually,
it
Yes, it is. That's right. Yeah, long time coming.
Well, we'd like to have you on more often.
Oh, good, good. I don't know if I'll have interesting things to say in the future, but we can see where we land.
Look, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, you are our community leader and you're a member of the LGBTI communities, and therefore you are certainly welcome in this studio and on this show in particular.
Fantastic.
Anytime you're in Melbourne, we want
to
meet.
Well, actually, that gives me an excuse to come live into the studio, excuse to come to your beautiful city. I am a fan of Melbourne. Absolutely. After Perth, Melbourne is the city. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you. Dean, I want to kick off the conversation by asking you how you feel as a gay man, as a community leader in Australia. How does it feel to have your rights discussed and voted on in such a public way? How do you feel about that?
Well, like all of us, I think I'm still feeling the. Well, let's be frank about it. Feeling the pain and pressure of that. When I talk to gay mates of mine here in the West, or talking to other LGBTI Australians over the course of the postal survey, the postal survey did produce the right outcome. Very, very grateful for the very, very strong yes vote. But it did come at a personal cost to many people. You know, I'm a 47-year-old, white guy, successful, inverted commas, senator. But did I feel the pressure of it? Absolutely. Did it become the focus of every conversation I had with my LGBTI friends and non-LGBTI friends? Absolutely. Was it hard to sort of escape it? Very, very difficult to escape it. So I had long opposed the postal survey for many reasons, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, it did come at a high price. A necessary evil is how I've characterised it.
You have no debate from us here in this studio, Dean. We've had numerous reports about increased calls to support services like Beyond Blue and Lifeline and QLife. We have had anecdotal information about people with suicidal thoughts. We've had anecdotal but also some real information about families being split around this issue, and I've had some personal experiences myself within my own network, which I've found quite distressing, actually. So there's no doubt in my view that this has been divisive and distressing and very hurtful and harmful for our community. And to think that, the 90% of the population can actually have a say and have a talk about us in this way is really very hurtful, I think.
It is, and I think, yes, we got the right result, and it was great that we got the right result, and congratulations, Victoria, for being sort of at the forefront of that. But just because we got the right result doesn't mean we should excuse or bury that sense of hurt, the pain that came from having our lives, scrutinised in such a way. I'm happy to admit I saw it in my own behaviour and the behaviour of others, restlessness in my sleep, being withdrawn at certain parts of the campaign. And these were characteristics that others shared with me as well. And it doesn't matter if you're an older LGBTI Australian or even a younger LGBTI Australian, it did feel uncomfortable. It did feel uncomfortable. Now, and I hope that the government hasn't yet closed the door on providing some extra support for LGBTI-specific mental health services. Because as we know, these sorts of things can hide in us for a while. Yes, it's exciting. We've got the Pride Parade here in the West tonight, and all these things will help us recover. But we shouldn't shy away from the fact that it was impactful on many, many people.
Can I ask, Senator, it's Macca here, when you sit in the party room, and whether it's the Liberal Party room or the Joint Party room, and some of the members of the government have a view on this legislation and on LGBTI rights that is at pretty strong variance with yours. How do you feel, and I know, look, it's a personal question, but how do you feel, do you, you know, because they don't regard you as equal. They don't want you to be treated equal. And they use all sorts of arguments as to why that is. If I can ask, how does that make you feel and how do you counter that?
Well, perhaps I could put it in a slightly different way. What I've observed, and it is certainly easier now that we've got Tim Wilson, Trent Zimmerman, Trevor Evans, but we've also had our supporters and our friends and people like Warren Entschen.
Warren, yes. Of course. I might say we had a what was going to be a short chat with Warren, and it was actually 38 minutes. But please go on.
Well, I mean, now, and Warren is, you know, Warren is a real hero in this. This is how I prefer to look at it. It is true that people try to diminish the experiences of LGBTI Australians. That is true in the Parliament. It is true that people try to make LGBTI Australians who are in our federal Parliament, and I assume it's the same in all of our parliaments, try to make them and their issues invisible. So when someone says to me, oh, no one's talking to me about same-sex marriage, it's not an important issue, that is an attempt to make gay issues invisible. When someone says, oh, Dean, you don't need to mention that you're a gay man in your first speech in the Senate, everyone knows that is actually an attempt to make people invisible. And if there's something that I've learned personally over my first 5 years, I hope I've got, you know, lots of 5 years ahead of me, but what I've learned in my first 5 years is I must stand up for myself. Yes. I must stand up for LGBTI Australians. I mean, I must be proud of who I am and what I represent. And so I sort of see it through the lens of, is someone's action, is someone's comment trying to make me visible in our national parliament, or are they trying to make me invisible? And I've got a lot of clarity about that in the last 6 months. And I've just, I mean, and I, as a West Australian senator, I need to fight hard across a whole lot of issues. But I am going to be more visible as a openly gay man in our national parliament, because you have to be more visible in order to combat those who want to try to make you invisible. And I suspect that is true across our communities and in our workplaces as a general rule. I mean, I can talk about it in terms of my own experience as a parliamentarian, but I'm sure we don't have to think too hard about our own community, our own workplaces, perhaps even in some of our own families.
Dean, that's music to my ears, actually. Mm. And it's
inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. And it actually reminds me of some conversations that I've had with some of the academic friends of mine here back in Melbourne, who you know, think about the way in which the whole sort of rights movement has moved from tolerance sort of in the 70s, you know, we tolerate LGBTI people, to more in the 90s we moved to a space of wanting to include and be inclusive of LGBTI people. And now we're saying we don't want to be tolerated, we don't want to just be included, we actually want to be celebrated for who we are, we want to be acknowledged for who we are, we want to be able to participate because of who we are. And I think that's what I'm hearing you say as well.
Absolutely. And we want to be involved, we want to participate, not just because we are LGBTI Australians, but because we bring qualities as people to our roles.
Exactly.
We might bring, you know, scientific skills, we might bring empathy to causes. I think that sometimes LGBTI Australians are much more able to develop a sense of empathy with certain causes and get change. And two, we want to bring the resilience that we have learnt in our own lives to bear on other, perhaps more difficult issues. And when I listen to people's stories, two things always shine through. One is that each of us in our own different way, in our own environments, has to show courage every day, every week, every month. And that process of constantly being drawn upon, constantly, you know, finding the courage in ourselves means that we become much more resilient. And if there's something that I'm particularly keen to do, and I'm not quite sure how we do this yet, but I want to instill in young LGBTI Australians a sense of courage. Yes, unfortunately, life is unfair, but find that courage within yourself. Find the sources of courage around you, but teach them resilience, because that's what makes us stronger, and that allows us to, you know, deal with things like the postal survey and other sort of difficulties that come across our way.
I think to add also a sense of pride as well, because there is, especially in the older communities, still a sense of self-loathing and a sense of we're not quite complete or not quite right, and that permeates in the way in which LGBTI older Australians can participate meaningfully and equally in Australia.
I got a powerful bit of advice when I turned 40, actually. When I turned 40, I thought I had...
We thought you were only in your late 30s, actually, Dean. So you've
Too kind. I got some great advice when I turned 40. Someone said to me, oh, Dean, the coming out process never ends.
That's correct. And
it had never dawned on me until that point that we come out first to ourselves, and that's a very, very private experience. Then we trust our friends and family and come out to them. Then we come out to our workplaces. And then, you know, even though you think the whole world might know that you're a gay, you know, senator, you come out in your first Senate speech and tell the world you're gay, and then you meet someone and they ask about your wife and you think, well, actually, no, and you're honest with them, you think, I'm an openly gay man. So you're constantly coming out.
It's never ending.
Yes. It's a never-ending story. And when I first heard that, I thought, oh, golly, you know, another hurdle.
Yes.
But it's actually quite liberating, because in every coming out experience, and I hope this is true of most people, in every coming out experience, we learn a bit more about ourselves, we learn a bit more about the world, and we become stronger and more resilient people, and as you said, prouder people.
So, Dean, just to go back to the bill, do you expect it to get through the Senate unscathed?
I do think I'm an old-fashioned parliamentarian, and I absolutely respect the right of the parliament to, or parliamentarians, to bring forward amendments and have them debated. So there will be amendments. There will be some technical amendments. Oh, Senator, you forgot to dot the I and cross the T. There will be some posturing. You know, I'm here and I'm going to beat my chest and I'm going to, you know, and they will go nowhere. And then there might be one or two amendments, but nothing that unwinds anti-discrimination laws will get through the Senate. I think we can be very, very confident about that. Secondly, I do think that 95 to 98% of my bill will be the bill that is the legal architecture for same-sex marriage in our country. But I'm very open to the fact that others might want to bring amendments to the floor, argue their point of view. Every time someone engages in a political debate, you get to see a bit more about their political character. Sometimes that's good and reassuring, and sometimes that's disappointing. We probably won't be surprised by some of the disappointing amendments that might come before the Senate, but that's just the parliamentary process, and this is what happens in that. This is how senators make their living, you know, amending bills and those sorts of things.
So what's non-negotiable for you?
The introduction of laws that would allow further discrimination against LGBTI Australians is non-negotiable. I don't believe that Labor will support that. I know that myself and other Liberal senators won't support that. And I've made it very, very clear in my public commentary that we can have same-sex marriage in our country and that can fit neatly within our legal architecture, that there is no need to wind back our anti-discrimination laws. I've made that clear. Other senators have made that clear. I think the Prime Minister has even made that clear.
If I can ask Dean, this whole question of religious freedom, and I think you would have seen the report, a teacher in Perth, I think... has lost his job because the school actually has the legal right under state law to terminate him on the basis of the school's beliefs are in conflict with his sexual, let's call it orientation. As federal legislation has an overarching effect, this whole question of religious freedom and the debate, do you believe the proposal for this whole issue of religious freedoms to be discussed in the new year, and I believe you're a person of faith. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Most of a Christian. Yep.
And so, my concern is that that argument is going to be used as a vehicle for all the arguments, you know, that we've talked about that won't get up as part of this bill. Do you think they're going to resurface in the new year? That is my fear, and that we're going to get dragged into this again, because, you know, I respect people's right to hold a belief and to worship, but, you know, they need to respect who we are. And I always say, and I don't know if you know him, Peter Curti,
no.
He's from the Centre for Independent Studies.
Oh, okay.
LGBTI people, folk, are God's work. And people in the religions need to understand that and start respecting that. That's what my concern is, that they don't.
I am a believer, and when I came out in my early 20s, I had some pretty clear choices. Once I had recognised that I was a gay man, I had some choices. I could be open with my family, and I chose to do that. I could say, well, there's no way I can be a Christian and a gay and sacrifice my faith. I chose not to, and I chose to sort of think about how I was going to reconcile these two things, which I had thought were irreconcilable. They are not irreconcilable. I think that, and I'm happy to bore you with my view of sort of being gay and my religious faith another time. I remember my father saying to me, oh, what a shame, I was very active in the Young Liberals, don't hold that against me. My father said, oh, that's a shame, you're going to have to throw away all your political activity. And I said, that was the last thing on my mind. That was the last thing on my mind. So when I sort of came out, I had to sort of reconcile all these things. I take a slightly different view. What's been interesting in the debate that we have seen over the last few months is we've seen broad statements about religious freedom. We've seen broad statements about freedom of speech. We've seen broad statements about parental rights. And when I have challenged colleagues publicly and privately, what is the evidence that our current legal architecture is failing? What is the evidence? They're not able to show the evidence.
Yeah.
And so I think actually that this religious freedom inquiry could actually put to bed once and for all these very broad, unfounded statements that there is something to fear in our country from same-sex marriage. Secondly, and this is something that Labor had worked on prior to losing the 2013 election, you could see a better harmonisation, you could see a consolidation of anti-discrimination laws in Australia. So I don't necessarily think that this is a bad thing. I think it could actually, on the upside, I think it could actually put to bed some of these very unfounded concerns that get bandied around. And this issue is very, very simple to understand. There is a group of people in our country who think that the sky is going to fall in, that the world is going to change when we legalise for same-sex marriage in our country. And there are others of us, including me, who say, well, actually, the world will go on. There'll be little or no problem, except there might be a bit more joy, a bit more happiness, and good people drawn closer into loving families. So I'm more of an optimist, and I have supported this sort of broader religious freedom inquiry. But the challenge is that often when we hear people talk about religious freedoms, they're talking about Christian religious freedoms. Mm. Well, our country is more complicated than that.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, more complicated. This is a multi-faith country, and I would argue that the religious freedom of Buddhists, Sikhs, others are just as important.
Dean, we've run out of time.
It was quick.
I know. We've actually gone over time. I'm really... I feel better for hearing what you've said this morning. The invitation is there for you absolutely to come on any time, but to come to Melbourne and let's work around doing a show, a whole show, on this issue of religious freedom with yourself and others. And let's thrash this out, you know, for our community and the wider community. But I want to put on record the thanks from Joy and from our community, your community, for standing up, for being the person at the end of the day, yes, lots of other people involved on all sides, but at the end of the day, it will be remembered as the Dean Smith Bill. And that is something, mate, you can be incredibly proud of. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I have surprised myself pleasantly through this process. But, you know, let's always remember that, you know, we are fingers crossed at the final chapter, and many, many, many other people have worked in more difficult times to bring this to a final.
Thank you very much, Dean. You've been absolutely inspirational this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your event tonight. And once again, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you, Melbourne. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.